All right, guys, welcome to another installment of the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. I am your host, Shelton Williams, and today I have a very, very special guest on the podcast, someone that I have known for a very, very long time. And could you go ahead and introduce yourself to the people?
Well, I'm Lacey Aldridge, a well-known, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not famous, but I should be. I am also a former pastor's kid, still a weird person, so that still qualifies. Now I am a partner with my dad in a physical training business and an artist, and that person with colored hair that you see walking down the street, that's me.
Hey, so we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit too. But because I really want to kind of talk about in general, sometimes if people looked at who we are today, they would be kind of like, oh, my soul, you guys are so wild and crazy and on all over the place. You guys are not what we envisioned for you guys to be, you know. So we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit. But of course, like, you know, being a pastor's kid, growing up, you know, as a pastor's kid, there's a lot of things that sometimes people don't even, like, realize the weirdness of what being a pastor's kid is, like, about. I was watching something the other day. I don't know if you saw something similar to it, but it was, I don't know if you know who, you're familiar with John Piper. Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
Okay. One of his... Oh, okay. So you're familiar with him. One of his kids talks a lot about what it's like being a pastor's kid and what it was like, you know, growing up, you know, with all these people knowing who his dad is and all this other stuff. And what's very interesting that he kind of talked about, I just watched a video with him, and he talked about, like, being a pastor's kid is this weird thing to where, like, everyone knows you, but then they don't know you personally. And it's like this, like, weird thing to where it's like you're kind of famous, and yet, like, people are asking you kind of weird things that they really shouldn't be, but they feel this kind of, like, familiarity to you. So they feel like, oh, I can talk to them, I can say this to them, or I can ask them this. But honestly, it would be weird in any other context. Like, can you imagine, like, any adult, like, going to a child they've never talked to and then asking them very personal questions? But yet, as a pastor's kid, like, you get that a lot. You get people coming up to you, and you're, like, in the back of your mind thinking, I don't know this person, like, at all. Have you ever had, like, some, like, weird interactions like that when you were a pastor's kid?
Yes, I'd say that I'd have more now because I was kind of one of those, like, really cocky pastor's kids. So because you do have that sense of, like, oh, I'm important, you know, like, oh. And so then you kind of air that around. And I was, of course, I'm not talking about everyone, but me personally. And so I didn't get a lot of that because I was who I am. It was more like, oh, you're an Aldridge, so we're going to talk to you, and maybe you can talk to your dad for us. It was never usually, like, personally to me. I was always some sort of, like, you know, middleman, which I hated, and I think that's what made me cocky, because it was like, could someone just see me for me, please, and stop seeing me for who I'm related to or things like that. And I think that was my journey to, like, crazy, because it was like, okay, what can I do for people to see me for me? But now that I've, like, been out of that and I'm really my own person, now more adults and things like that come to me and talk to me about stuff more now than when I was actually in that, like, you know, realm, because more so it was just who I was related to. That's why they're talking to me. And now it's like they're talking to me for me, but it's been a process.
I think, and this is, you kind of mentioned something that I want to kind of bring up, is like people kind of look at you for, like, oh man, you're connected to the pastor. So how can I leverage my proximity to you and say, hey, how about I'm going to use, it's almost like they're using you, right? Like, it's like, not like, I want to get to know Lacey. It's, I want to use Lacey so that I, for my own agenda, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I feel that, you know, and I think for a lot of pastors, kids, we're like, oh my soul, can you just look at me? Like, you know, look at who I am, you know? And I know that's weird,
right?
Isn't it? Isn't that's this weird dynamic?
It is weird. And like, but now, like, I never, ever want to play the victim. I never want to be like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm hurting about, and let's just sit down and talk about my hurt. No, for me to move on and grow, I have to look at that girl who was overlooked or trying really hard to be focused on and see like all the things that were pushing me towards that and like pretty much never do that again type of thing. Like looking back and seeing what I could work on rather than blaming all those people that used me and finding other people to blame for my hurt, because too many people are like how many years later and they're still blaming those people, and that's defining their lives. And I never, like, I learned at a young age to never do that. Like, so when I think about all that, you know, the taking advantage, the many times where I was used just for who my name was, you know, things like that, like, I never want to be defined by that, for sure. And, you know, like, see, like, what I was becoming because those people were looking past me, you know, and using me for other people. I mean, I wouldn't change anything because I'm who I am now because I learned how not to be, you know. So it's like, I never want to, like, blame those people, you know what I mean? And
right.
Things like that, but the taking advantage is a huge deal, and it does make you paranoid, but if you can use it more so of a better at, you know, judging people's character or not jumping into things so quickly or not being like, there should be a form of filtering, you know, when talking with people and things like that. And, you know, it has been a process. But taking advantage was a huge deal in the ministry, because people can literally be the lowest of the low, but when you think about it, of, you know, they're hurting, and a lot of times people forget that the pastors are not God. You know, they have been put into a position of authority, but they're just as weak or as human as the congregation. And people forget, you know, they see what they see. There's no, a lot of their faith, you know, is very little. And I just feel, you know, we really dealt with a lot of sad, weak people. And it was rough.
Because the thing is, when you're a pastor's kid, what people don't realize is, like, we don't just see our parents or you know, don't just see our dad, like, on Sunday mornings or, like, Sunday nights or, like, just church services. Like, we literally see them every day. And so I know for some people, like, they only see the pastor, like, one way. Like, you only see him as this, you know. And sometimes for some people, like, we put him on this, like, divine pedestal. And, like, we shouldn't do that for any human being. And, like,
right.
You have to understand, like, everyone's human. And one thing I had to, like, someone just mentioned this the other day, and it's something that, like, I have to deal with, is, like, it's okay for me to have a bad day, you know?
Right.
Because with this, like, when I grew up being a pastor's kid, it's like you always have to put on this image of perfection, always have to put in this image of, like, what, you know, oh, man, what's this person going to think, or what's that person going to think, or, oh, man, like, and people love to put standards on you that God never put on you, right? Like,
right.
It's like, it's so crazy. I think that was one, you, as a pastor's kid, you deal with, oh, you know, the using and all that. Oh, man, people using. But also, like, you have this weird identity crisis, because you don't know. Okay, being a pastor's kid, it's like layers. Like, okay, I'm a pastor's kid. So you feel like, oh, there's certain standards that I have to live up to because I'm a pastor's kid, or standards that other people put on you because you're a pastor's kid. And then you have your own, like, person, your own personality. You're like, well, am I doing this because I enjoy doing this, or am I doing this because this is what other people want me to do? So I feel like a lot of pastor's kids have an identity issue because we aren't really sure who we really are, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes. And when we were in evangelism, for those who don't, we were in evangelism for 10 years, mainly my whole childhood, and that's how it was. So we traveled in a motorhome to different churches every week, and it was something different at each church. And as a kid, it was very hard to know what was right and wrong, because at each church we were having to be someone different. And because there were some churches that it was like, okay, it's not okay to wear pants, so we need to figure out what we're going to wear at this church. And then at this church, it was like, okay, it's not okay to talk about this, so we're not going to talk about this and certain things. So it just became a routine, which was, you know, fine, because that's just what we did. But
right,
it was very hard at growing up thinking, okay, like, which one of these is okay, and what's really bad, you know, things like that that made you think. And so once we got off the road, and, like, I went into school, like, a real school in fifth grade, then you started learning more stuff, like, wow, like, should I be judging these people? Because we weren't allowed to do this. And
yeah,
it was just a big transition. And there was just a lot of learning and a lot of realizing
that,
wow, that, yes, and, like, oh, that wasn't that big of a deal. Why did, you know, stuff like that. But I never, like, want to hold it against my parents ever. Like, there's times where they've apologized for things. I'm like, I appreciate that, but also you did the best you could. Like, we were all in that together, because it was a form of, like, we don't know what else to do. You know, this is what we're in. And it was a process for everyone. Like, not just me and my brother, but also my parents. And so I know a lot of people hold it against their parents for their childhood in this kind of position, you know, in the fundamental Baptist. But, like, it was a process for everybody. We didn't know. Like, we were all brainwashed. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy for everybody. So, especially form of going to different church, you know, it's hard to keep up.
You're absolutely right. Because I feel like for so many of us, like, we were just guinea pigs. If we're all going to be, like, honest. We were all, like, as kids, like, no one knew, you know, the consequences, really, of some of this stuff. You know, we weren't, you know, this is just how you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, you know, live like this, do like this. And it's not till you get older that you begin to realize that some of this stuff, like, that we were told at one time, is like, oh, wait a minute, we don't have to live like this. Like, wait a minute, you can be a Christian and do this. You can be a Christian. And so, because I feel like, you know, my parents, I love my parents to death. And nothing that they did was anything like they were trying to hurt us or trying to, you know, do any of those things. It was just like, this was what they were taught. And so they just like, okay, I was taught to be a parent like this. And so this is how I'm going to, you know, raise my family. And then you begin to realize as you get older, it's like, wait a minute, some of this stuff, and my parents were learning on the fly. It's like, you know, you learn this stuff. It's like, and that's what I'm learning, like, you know, now that I'm married and stuff, like, when I have kids, and I don't want to sound like, oh, like, I don't, like, you know, but let me just say it like this. When I have kids, I know that for sure that we're all just guessing on this life thing. Like, everyone's guessing. Like, no one, like, there was a time as a kid that I thought, like, everyone had it all figured out. Like, oh, man, these people have it figured out. And then when I get older, I'm just realizing that everyone that I thought had it figured out really didn't. They were just guessing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I can't fault my parents for, you know, how we were raised, because, you know, they were just doing the best they could.
Exactly. And that's how I see it, too. And especially with a lot of the things that we went through as a family, the only way I could get through it was figuring out what to change about myself in that situation. I couldn't sit there and blame my parents. I couldn't sit there and blame whoever, you know, disappointed me. I couldn't sit there and blame, like, all these people, because then I would just grow into this bitter person who's just holding all this stuff against these people who are literally humans, you know, all fallen mankind, saved by the grace of God, you know, and where's God in all this if I'm treating them as the people who are defining my life? You know, whose fault is that? Mine. And yeah. I had to literally sit back and be like, okay, this might be a crappy situation, but how am I going to be better because of it? And how am I going to define my life now? Like, it's my life now. I'm no longer going to be looking up to this person. I'm no longer going to be looking up to this person. Like, it's my fault that I put them so high on a pedestal, just like everybody else. And I have to start looking to God. Like, a lot of the crap that happened in church brought me to a point of who is God? Because we get so involved with the people. We get so yeah. involved with how everything's supposed to look. We get so involved with who am I going to impress at church? You know, like, yes. forget about the message because I keep hearing the same stuff over and over. Who's going to talk to me today? And who's going to think my outfit looks nice? And who's going to be happy that I arrived? Like, that yeah. is where I was. And if we hadn't have been kicked out and forcibly removed from a church, I would still be this uptight, basic bee living this life that didn't have God in it. It just had yeah. who was going to look at me today. Like, I was getting to that point, and how would I have known to change, or how would I have known to focus my life on God if church, like, if they hadn't disappointed us, if they hadn't brought this hurt on us? Like, I was reading the other day, it was something that said, I can't remember, but it was like, you can't really find, like, your darkness or what's going on in you until there's a light that's turned on, until you've figured out that, like, there is something to be looked at you. Like, we keep, you know, blaming all these people, and I still have still family members or friends or whatever that, like, they're really focused on who hurt them, and that's just how it's, like, that's how it's been forever. They just keep focusing on these people, and it's never like, why can't you look inward? The only person you can somewhat control or somewhat change for the better is yourself. And I'm so tired of people being hateful and talking bad about people, you know, that have hurt them. Like, because why can't you look at it at a way that's transformed your life? Like, it does scare me to be a parent, just because you can do the best you can do, but it's up to your kids to make choices. It's up to your right. kids to make the choices that define their lives. Because if I hadn't have chosen to work on myself, to find God my own way, and stop looking towards my parents, I wouldn't be where I am right now.
Exactly.
And people forget that they are their own person in Christ. We are not, yeah, yes. we are the body of Christ, but you have to have that personal relationship. And if you don't learn from your hurt, and if you don't let it become a part of your story, like, I have that tattoo that says, the struggle is a part of the story. And I would never change anything that happened to us for anything, because it's when you're in that lowest part of your life, it's when everyone has disappointed you, that you finally see that God is so clear. And you have to have these people torn away or stripped down, because we forget. We forget that at the center we are nothing. And without God, you know, like, without God, we are literally just, you know, beings. And in the ministry, we put people so high up. And
yes,
we want
to
blame them when they disappoint us. We want to blame them real fast. Like, okay, that's my first card I'm going to take, is I'm going to blame that person that hurt me, because it's their fault that they hurt me. It's our fault for putting them on that pedestal.
That high.
Like, no one takes personal blame. No one ever looks at themselves. And I really want people to see that you can't get anywhere in life if you're just blaming people. You know, like, I was bitter when I was 12 years old. It started when I was 12 years old, and I got over it really fast, because I was like, I am hateful, I am angry, I am a bully at school. And I'm like, as a 12-year-old, I decided I didn't want my life to be like that. I'm tired of being this way, and I'm tired of holding people hostage that have no idea that they're ruining my lives, because they don't know. I'm doing it to myself. And so,
Man, you're talking some good stuff right now. That's good.
Well, at a young age, I was able to get out of that, because I was like, I hate this. I hate living like this. I hate being this way, because you're literally living for other people when you're holding that bitterness in your heart. And they have no blessed idea, because you're doing it to yourself. And yet your whole life is based on those people. And it's just ridiculous. And there's a lot of adults I've talked to, and they're like, you know, it's so refreshing to see you come out of this at a young age, when they know people that have been holding on to stuff like this for years and years and years, and it just becomes a habit. And I was just like, I was tired of being that way. There's no way I can live satisfied in Christ when I'm too disgruntled with myself. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't work that way. And
I think though, for some people, this is, and I think it's like a, I kind of understand it, even though I don't agree with it, I think I understand it. It's one where you put your identity in somebody, right? So you put your identity in, okay, this is my identity is in this person, right? Then that person disappoints them. And, and so what they do is they still keep their identity in those people. So then it goes from an issue of, oh, man, this is, who my identity is. Oh, great, great. Then when things just go terrible, you still keep your identity in the same place. You keep your identity in the same people. So now their identity is just the hurt. Their identity is just the sadness, because their identity never changed. And what you're telling people to do is like, okay, you understand that their identity at one point was in that person, was in that individual, was in those, the group of people. And then what you're telling people to do is, okay, now that you've done that, you recognize that, now take your identity from those people and put it on yourself. Find out who you are. Now pick up the pieces from where you are currently. But for some people, they haven't done that transition. They haven't put their identity back, where it needs to be at. And technically, I know there's going to be someone that's like, well, really, you need to put your identity in Christ. But you understand what I mean. I mean, we need to be the people that God has called us to be, and not to live our lives for other people's acceptance, other people's applause. Because if you do that, this situation happens where people are hurt, and they live in that hurt, and they never kind of get out of that. And that's kind of a sad place to be.
It is. And I can understand that, because I have dealt with a lot of people like that. And I think another thing, too, like, I can be very independent. And so it is a little easier for me to be alone with myself. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people who don't like to be alone, and they have trouble with themselves. And so that can be very hard when you are looking to other people, first of all, because you don't like yourself. Yeah. And that's a process. That's a process that you do need people to help you with, but also realizing that, like, I don't know, you're a great person. You know, like, you are so loved, and who you are supposed to be is going to bless the world in some way, but you have to embrace it. Like, you have to embrace it. You have to forgive yourself. We're constantly being forgiven by God, so why can't we forgive ourselves? And I do know it's a huge process. And I've always been one to forgive easily, not because it's easy, but because usually the other person will not forgive you, or even step up to ask for forgiveness. I've learned that if you want it done, you got to do it. So usually I would be the first to, like, ask for forgiveness or just forgive in general, whether they wanted me to or not, just because I can't live like that. But I know a lot of people, it's easier for them to just, you know, let it go. But when it concerns yourself, there has to be some forgiveness. And there has to be, you know, like that realization that we are important. You know, we self-care, like people talk about all the time, self-care. It's just, it's definitely a process because it is hard to look at yourself. It's hard to see the pain. It's hard to think about, you know, the past. And even when I think about it, like, it feels like a dream. It's hard to think about, like, the past even happening, you know? But now it's more so like, okay, how am I going to let that change my life for the better rather than define me as just this hurt and in pain person?
Right.
And I know a lot of people are defined by that.
Because my thing is, like, a lot of people, you know, that grew up the way we grew up, you know, it's tough for them to really find that kind of middle ground, right? Because I feel like there's a lot of different people our age that they go through different categories. One, there's, I have some people, you know, that are on this podcast that because of how we were raised, how and everything, they're not even, you know, serving God today. They're like, you know,
right,
what?
Right.
They put that the people on the pedestal as much as God is, right? They put them on the same level as God. So like when those people hurt them, it's like, well, God let me down. I'm done with God. Like I'm done doing that. And you have like another category, like what you just talked about, of people that are just like, they put all their identity in that hurt, you know, and everything like that. How do you kind of have that, you're kind of in the middle to where like you acknowledge the hurt, you acknowledge like the pain that you've gone, you know, that you went through, but also you know how you knew how to get out of it. So how did you get out of that and with everything? Can you kind of help my listeners that are probably in that same phase in their journey now?
Well, when we first left our church, we left a church when I was in fifth grade and then moved to Florida permanently. And we like went around to a few churches and then we're in a church where my dad was a pastor and then we left after a few years. So after that all went down, that was a, and I won't go into details because it doesn't need to be, you know, dug up. But when we went through that, it became finally a time where I was seeing myself as an individual. It was when everyone around me had let me down that I finally took time on myself. And at that time, it might have been hard because I did kind of go into this, like, my own little world type of thing. But in that, I was able to search for other things. Like I was finally trying to decide who God was to me, stop looking at people. It was a dark time, but it was a needed time because we get so caught up in everyone else's opinions and what everyone else believes. And then we don't even take time for our personal beliefs. So there was a lot of pain for a long time, but there was a lot of like searching and finally, like, let me look at myself. Let me dig deep. And if these people can hurt me, then what kind of damage have I done to other people? And I had to really step back because I had to make some choices. Like, okay, am I going to just wallow in this and pity, and which I despise pity. I can't deal with it. I have trouble when people pity me for stuff. And, I was like, okay, if I don't want people to do that to me, I'm not going to do that to me. So I'm going to try to figure out what I'm supposed to do in life and who I'm supposed to be. So I actually...
Lacey, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, I think I lost you for just a second. Yeah, good. Yeah, I lost you for just... I heard you don't like pity, and then I think it cut off after that. I'm sorry. Go from there.
Okay. Well, I don't like pity. I did not like when people, like, it was nice of them to reach out, but it was also like, I still have parents, so I'm fine. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I'm not your child. I appreciate your words, but also leave us alone. Like I was at that point where I didn't want really people to talk to me. I needed time alone. I needed time to figure out what my life was going to be because it was too busy being defined by other people.
Yeah.
And so I really dug deep into some reading materials. I got into Judah Smith, and his books transformed me.
Wow.
So I would say look up anything that Judah Smith has done. All his books are incredible. They really helped me see who God was and who he can be to me, not just someone who we say we know, but someone who I can personally know. And I just
Wait,
took the
could
pain
you pause
out.
For just a second.
Yeah.
Just a second, because I want to ask you a particular question. Because you mentioned that you had to go, you said that there was some hurt for a few years, right? And
yes.
I think, and maybe, and we can kind of talk about this just a second before we move on to the books and things, is do you think that's really like the first step is really you kind of have to hurt before you can heal type thing? Do you think that that's where a lot of people need to kind of rest in a little bit? Is like, okay, you're going to hurt. It's gonna stink for a little bit. But once you dig deep and find out, you know, who God is to you, that journey is worth it. Would you say that?
Yes, of course. I have never been one to understand why people blame God. I'm just saying that factually. I'm not like pointing fingers. I think it's because God was never the center for me. So why would I blame him for anything? You know, it was people who were at the center for me. And so once people let me down, it was like, okay, God, it's your turn. You know, like, I'm finally going to look at you. And I think for other people, once people let them down, they don't want to blame those people specifically. They're just going to blame God, because obviously God in general.
Right.
But because I didn't really have God, you know, I was saved at 4, but I didn't really have him at the focus because people were my focus. And so going through that pain, recognizing the hurt, do not punish yourself for being in pain. Do not punish yourself for getting your feelings hurt, because it's a natural thing. But you got to recognize that pain, and then you've got to let yourself heal. I think that is a problem, that people do recognize the pain, but then they don't ever heal. And you have to go through that healing process, and it takes a lot of time, and it might take years, but while you're healing, you still need to be growing as a person, and you still need to be searching for how to be the best person you can be. You can't just keep saying, I'm healing, I'm healing, I'm healing, but not ever trying to be better.
Right. You know, you got to get to the point of actually doing the work. Right? So
right.
You can't
you
sit back and say, I'm healing. Yeah, exactly. So the hurt is real. Acknowledge. Because the thing is, okay, this is one thing I think I mentioned this on another podcast before, but the way I was raised, okay, I can't really speak because I don't know if you were taught this too, but the way I was raised is like you kind of forget your feelings. Like, your feelings don't matter. Dig deep, like, whatever, like, if you're hurting, just wipe it off, move on, and just go, right? And I think, and I get the sentiment, because I feel like they're the past generation that never cared about their feelings, okay? And so because of that, they kind of lashed out sometimes, because it'll store inside you, and then one time it'll just release, and so sometimes you get that. And so, and I understand it, because you got bills, you got things going on. You can't wallow in self-pity, you can't wallow in pain, so I get that. But I grew up in that kind of, in that generation of, you know what, forget your feelings, don't worry about it. But then the pendulum has kind of swung the other direction, where we have a lot of kids that just identify in their pain. Right. So
right.
The pendulum has swung the whole opposite direction, to where people were, you know, they are invested in their feelings, but almost to a point that's kind of unhealthy, if we can say that. So now we need to have a generation that's kind of like in the middle, to where it's like, okay, we acknowledge, you know, our pain. We acknowledge the situation that happened, you know, but yet at the same time, we're going to work on getting out of this. Right.
So
then how do you, because I think our generation, I think we need leaders in our generation that's going to be like, not saying your feelings don't matter, but saying that, okay, your feelings matter, but we got to get out of this, right? Like, your feelings matter. But yet, like I told this, I said this on a podcast before, your feelings matter, but your feelings lie sometimes, right?
Right.
So, like,
yes.
your feelings will sit back and tell you, hey, this person doesn't like you, or hey, you're not attractive, or hey, no one wants to be your friend. Like, literally, like, growing up as a kid, like, I had a lot of insecurities, a lot of different things, and a lot of these feelings were lies, right? They weren't true. But I felt these things. Like, I felt like, oh man, this person doesn't want to hang out with me. Oh man, like, I'm, you know, this or that or the other. But your feelings lie. And so your feelings matter. Your feelings lie. And so because your feelings lie, you got to start believing truth. And what are the truth? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. What is the truth? That you do have people that love and care about you. And you may be family, maybe friends, but you have people there. So, yeah, so I just wanted to kind of rest in that too. But then now, you know, when you're talking about the work aspect of it, you had to do the work. It wasn't like, hey, I'm better now. Like, you don't wake up one day and say, I'm good. All right. I'm good. I love everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
we don't wake up like Beyonce. I woke up like this. I'm good. Like, we don't happen. Okay. You have to do the work with it. Right. And some of the work was digging deep into yourself, reading books, you know, by leaders, you know, and it was basically just trying to figure out who God is for you and not who God is for everyone else, like, but what he is
right.
for you, right?
And I think that's what has hurt a lot of people, is that they still see God for who other people have defined God to be to them. And so they're resting in that opinion, and they don't take time to search for God for themselves. And I've seen that hurt very closely. You know, like, why would I seek for God when the person next to me who says they know God is this hateful, mean, undesirable person? Because they're resting in that person's example or resting in their opinion, and there's never any personal searching. And for me, I had to decide, I need that personal relationship because I'm disappointed. You know what I mean? Like, it just became to the point where I was desperate. I was desperate for a relationship. And the pastor just said this the other day. I'm going to Grace City Church now. I love it. And the pastor said, in desperation, God really uses you because you've come to a point where you don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And that desperation, I needed God. I needed God, I needed something. And some people are just too comfortable with nothing. They're too comfortable with wallowing in that hurt. And I just can't live like that. I can't. And I know it's hard for so many people to get out of that, to search for God, to search for, you know, a refreshing, like, life. For me, I can't wallow, and I can't do that. Like, I have to move on. I have to be refreshed. That's my word for this year, was refreshed. Because I'm like, I need that. I need God to remind me every day that he's here. I need there to be that constant reminder that, yes, I'm a broken person, but I'm not going to let that stop me from impacting other people, from telling people that, of course, there's hope. You know, of course, there's a way out. And I just never want to be defined as someone who was hurt and will always be hurt and can't help people. Like, I really feel that people listen to other people who can relate to their story. And if I've never gone through anything, how can I ever impact anybody? How can I ever help anybody? And I've really tried to tell people, like, if this is what you've gone through, then let God use it for someone else who is going through that. Do not
exactly.
let it get you down. Like, I like to see stories or, like, experiences as a way of, like, it being an example of God's goodness. I never want it to be something that has kept me from doing things or is something that just keeps me at home. You know, like, I want it to be something that can help somebody else. Because how many times have you sat down and talked to people and your lives are so similar, and yet you wouldn't have known until you started talking to them? And once someone finds that relatable moment or that vulnerability that they completely understand, it's a life-changing moment, because you finally realize, I'm not alone in this. And that's how I felt with God. I felt like I found God, and I'm not alone in this. And once I was able to get out of that loneliness, or out of that, like, everyone's let me down and it's over, it was like, God was like, finally, I got you alone. Finally, I've got you to a point where I can have a relationship with you. And it was just eye-opening. And every day has been a process. I will not say that, like, oh, my gosh, I'm perfect now and the pain is gone. Like, it's never going to be like that. But also, it's like I see life more as an opportunity now. Every day is new. What am I going to do today? How am I going to, you know, impact other people's lives today, rather than, gosh, I really hate what happened yesterday, and, you know, I really don't like how that person treated me. Like, I never want to look at life like that. And like a lot of people have said, you know, everyone's going through something. And even when people lash out, you know, like, they're going through something. I've been there. I've lashed out, you know, like, and you know the times that you've lashed out in anger, you were going through something really hard that day.
Yep.
And when you start thinking about how you've reacted to things, it really changes your perspective when other people react the same way, rather than, like, being offended by them or judging them in that moment. You need to start reminding yourself of when you did that or when you were in that, because we just don't look at ourselves much. We don't, you know, we're constantly looking at other people. And I think when you have that relationship with God, he finally opens your eyes to yourself, and you can finally see that, you know, it's too personal.
Everything that you're saying, because I think one thing that we forget, we neglect on, is the very same, and I tell this to people all the time, is sometimes the very same thing that we're upset about from other people are the very same actions that sometimes we do, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
I remember, man, there's so many times I think about, I remember one time that I was just really, I was upset, you know, I was thinking about the other day, when everything you're talking about just reminded me of this. I was upset with someone at a Christian college, and there was a leader at a Christian college, and they brought me into their office, and they proceeded to lie to me, like lie to my face about a certain situation, and they were lying in the hopes of, like, catching me and trying to get, you know, and it was all a lie, and I knew it was a lie, and I remember thinking to myself going, you're lying to me, like, I was there, like, what you're saying isn't true, this is not what happened, and I just was really upset, like, man, how could you be a leader, you know, and upset about this, or you lied about this, and you know, and I was just really kind of hurt by that, and, but I remember one time, because this is what it's like being a pastor's kid, is sometimes people look up to you when they really have no means to, or they shouldn't. They really shouldn't. The only reason why some people look up to you is because of who your father is or who your mom is, you know what I mean? Who your parents are is sometimes why people look up to you. And I remember there was a kid who, when I was young. I might have been 12, 13, something like that. And there was a kid who always, every time I would go to church, he would like to, you know, hang out with me or talk with me or, like, be close with me, but I didn't really care for the kid that much, right? So, like, I used to, like, when I used to go to church, like, try to find ways so that he would not sit by me, try to find ways to where I'm not going to be, like, this kid is not going to sit with me, right?
I did that a lot.
Then, yeah, you see, you know what I mean, but here's the crazy part about it. Is when I got older, when I got to be about 16, 17 years old, that kid, that same the person that was hanging out with me or whatever, he got older and he stopped coming to church. And then after he stopped coming to church, we found out that he was, you know, locked up in jail or in prison and over situations, got involved with the wrong crowd, all this other stuff. And I remember thinking to myself, like, you know, what if I would have been, you know, nicer to this kid? Like, what if I would have been his friend? Maybe, you know, so it's just all this stuff I'm thinking about to myself, you know, that I just, at the time, I was just like thinking of myself, like, I just don't want to hang out with this kid. I don't want to do this thing, you know, but this kid used to always wanted to be right up under me. Like, oh man, I want to be right underneath. Cause at my church, at my dad's church, everyone called me Obi. So like, oh, I want to be right next to Obi. I want to do all this stuff. And now I remember thinking to myself, like, man, what if I, you know, not meaning to, like, I wasn't trying to do what I do to get that guy to go to jail or prison. Don't get me wrong. However, you have
it's
to think about.
It's your fault he
blocked up. Yes, it's my fault. I'm sorry. All right. But I think about all the time, like, the actions that we commit, you don't know the consequences of those actions. Like, you don't know, right, like, what you've done that could have hurt somebody else. And so sometimes we get to the point where we want to point the finger at other people, and sometimes rightly so. I'm not condoning the hurt that people give to us or have done to us, but at the same time, we've got to remember that there are days when we do the same thing. There are days that we hurt people inadvertently. There are days. There's so many things I could say about things I've done to hurt people that I know about, but you've got to get to the point of saying, okay, the same grace that I need, I need to give that grace to those same people that hurt me and have done things to me. So it doesn't mean that we're going to be best friends with those people, but it's
right,
just saying
right,
that I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to move on. And I'm not going to wallow in this thing where I'm angry, because at the end of the day, all it's doing is hurting me, and the other person's living their life happy and they don't even know I'm like upset with them. They
right,
have no clue.
Yes.
So
I will say too, that sometimes I'll identify forgiveness as selfish. Because there's been times where I've forgiven people just because I know I can't live without forgiving them. And it's not always about the person. It's not always about the recipient. But it's like, I know I can't live with myself until I've forgiven them.
Yeah.
And I, like, there was someone that blatantly hurt me, blatantly hurt my family. And it took me some time. But one day I just realized I have to write this person a letter. I have to forgive them. But I also do not have to let them back into my life.
Oh, yeah.
So I wrote that letter. I said, you know, pretty much, like, I forgive you. There's nothing I'm going to hold against you, but please don't contact me. And that was it. And I felt so much better, and it had to be done. It can't just be, like, said out into the wind, you know. Like, you have to let that person know. And it does show a sign of, like, growing in character. But also, you don't have to let them in. I think a lot of people think that if you forgive this person, then we have to be friends because God said we have to love each other and be close. And, like, no, there are people, obviously, you should not hate. Forgiveness is key, but also letting them go is key. You want your atmosphere. Letting go is key. Don't make me sing. But your atmosphere is very important, and your environment, and even with, like, illnesses, a lot of illnesses are because of your environment. And if you think about your body just as your soul, I mean, if your body's going to get sick because of something you're around, obviously your spirit is going to get sick because of certain things you're around. And we don't always think about that because it's hard to see until destruction happens, but it's a process. And if your environment and your atmosphere is grungy and full of negativity and full of all of this just nastiness, then of course it's going to affect you. And if you don't get it out, then you're never going to be able to find that refreshing cleanliness of that new outlook on life. And I had to figure that out at a young age, that you forgive people and then you let them go, and that's okay. It should never be a burden, and you shouldn't be holding on to these people that literally are a bad part in your life. And most of the time, they're not even concerned. So it's like, why not let them go? They don't care. You know what I mean? Like
they don't care. Like they're out living their life, and you have somebody living in your mind rent-free who has who does not care. You know what I mean? Who does not, you know, they're not even thinking about that issue. A lot of times we're holding on to things like from years, you know, from years and years of hurt. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I understand it. But at the end of the day, it's like that person probably forgot about that situation. That person probably doesn't even remember that. And we just got to, you know, let it go, you know, let it go.
Yes.
I'm just saying, okay, but really we need to let these things go, man. Like, I think when you said something earlier, it reminded me of 2 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, this is the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. I got to bring up those scriptures. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies," and I love this, "and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations." Why? Why does God comfort us in our tribulations? Why does God comfort in our pain? "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So
yes.
We go through these things that we go through, and sometimes we don't, this is what we forget. And this, I've talked about this. I preached this before, is the concept of, we have to remember that there's, before a miracle can take place, there has to be a problem first, right?
Right.
So a lot of times we're like, oh man, we all want a miracle. Oh, I want God to do something great in my life. Well, a lot of times that comes with some pain. There has to be a problem first that God has to fix, or there has to be a situation first that we can see his miraculous power. Like, we forget, like, Jesus had to die before he could, you know, raise from the dead. Like, there has to be tough situations a lot of times first before those miracles and those things can take place and happen in our lives. And so you're going through these, a horrible, you know, thing in your life. And in so many of us, we got hurt by pastors. Some of us got hurt by leaders. Someone got hurt by church members. You know, we got hurt by people that, you know, name the name of Christ. But what are you going to do after that hurt? Because it's happened. And there's nothing
right.
we can do, sadly, to change it. Like, we can't create a time machine and then say, I'm going to stay away from this person, you know, in this new alternate reality. I really wish the Flash was real. But anyways, I would go back sometimes. I'm like, man, I wish I could be the Flash and go back in time. And you can't do that. Like, we don't have that capability.
No.
So now that the problem has happened, now that the issue has all you can do from this point is pick up the pieces. That's all you can do. And
right.
we've got to learn to pick up the pieces, trust God, and allow him to get, you know, help us on this journey. And where God is wanting to take us is better than where we are right now. And
yes.
Oh man, that's good. I gotta say that again. Where God wants to take you, all right, is
Amen.
Better
Hallelujah.
Than where you are.
That is true though, because a lot of people are still they're still sitting. They never moved on, and they don't realize that if they just stepped out the door, God's been waiting and waiting and waiting, and there's something good, but they just won't get up.
That's the truth.
Sad.
That is so sad, but it's the truth. You got to get up. You know, you got to know what joy tastes like. You got to know what, you know, what it tastes like outside of where you're at right now. And I think sometimes we can only see, you know, our pain. We can only see these situations. But what I love about God is that, you know, what faith is seeing what you can't see. And some of us need to, and I told, oh man, it's going to feel like a broken record, but I've said this before, it's like, faith and fear are very similar. Faith and fear are both believing in something, a lot of times, that hasn't even transpired yet. Faith and fear is, okay, you can seriously sit where you're at and have fear and be afraid to step out of the boat, like, you know, the disciples were, and walk on water. You could be sit there in fear to do those different things. But what if you have faith that God is going to pull you out of that? God is going to show you great and mighty things which you don't even know about yet. But you got to learn to have faith in God. Have faith that God is going to take you somewhere that's better than where you are right now. And once you have that faith in God, I'm telling you, you know, it'll... everything, you know, so many great things are going to happen. And for some people too, I want to say this as well. There are some of you that might need to just leave a church. Okay, I'm just going to be honest. Okay, there's sometimes
yeah.
there's some churches you can't be a part of anymore. Like, You know, so it's not like they just hurt you one time, or it's not just like a one-time situation. It's like, man, they have a culture in that church that might not be conducive to your growth. Like, with Lisa, we were just talking about, like, it might be an environment that is making your soul sick. And so if yes. they are, if you're in a church that has an environment that's making your soul sick, then you need to leave. And that's part of that healing as well. Sometimes healing is saying goodbye. All right, bye. All right, and move
or bye.
On. For real, you know. But, man, this is so, so good, man. I think this is going to be good for my listeners here. But before we go, Lacey, before I, you know, let you go, is there anything, you know, that you want to, like, leave the listeners with so that they can, like, think on before we end this episode?
Just this one thought that I just got on Sunday from the pastor, and it really changed my thought, because I was thinking, man, why aren't all the things happening that I need to happen? I have faith in God. I'm trusting him. But what the pastor said completely changed my mind. And it said, he said, it's not your faith that's small. It's your awareness of Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And I think we limit Jesus in our minds. We don't realize how powerful, how authoritative, how much he has to offer for us. And it's not that we don't believe, it's that our awareness is so low. And I really feel that if we are just completely aware of who God is, big things will happen, because he'll say, finally, you see who I am. Let's go.
Man, that reminds me of the quote from A.W. Tozer that says, like, what you think about God is like the greatest thing about you, or something like to that effect. Is like, you know, who we think God is so important to who we are, you know,
yes.
because once you really realize who God is, it's like, man, you start getting a lot more boldness. Like, you start living in boldness and not as much in fear anymore, because, like, man, my God is, you know, my God is the one that created all this stuff. Like, my God can handle this. Like, you don't live in this, like, in this fearful attitude or behavior. It's like, man, do you know who my God is? You know what I mean? You live in that kind
right,
of boldness
right.
that it's almost that, you know, we talked about a little bit. It's almost that cockiness that we talked about earlier about, man, you know, when you said that I'm an Aldridge, and that came with a level of cockiness. But we got to sit back and say, man, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of the King. And that should come with a little bit, you know, I don't want to say cockiness, but a little bit of confidence, you know.
Yeah.
And in the fact that we're saved and we're believers, you know, and that we're child of the King. So we're children of the King. So that should give us some hope in terrible situations, man. That was good, Lacey, man. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. This was
awesome. Yeah, man. All right, guys, so if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, man, Shelton, you are weird, you're absolutely right. If you listen to this podcast and you're like, man, Shelton, you are a pastor's kid with those Bible verses, well, you're absolutely right as well. This is the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. Thank you for listening.